Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, please. A couple of weeks ago, you had a gentleman on who worked with the bank for many years and had a lot of knowledge, really, banking laws.
Mm-hmm.
Just wondering if we could contact him again and if he could have a program where he would be back on, because there was a lot of information that he has that I think needs to be shared with the public. I don't know if you have a contact for him and if you could possibly get hold of him and let him come on your program and share some of that valuable information that he has.
Well, ma'am, two things. One, we unfortunately sometimes don't have contact information for people because we don't have caller ID on our phone system. We depend on the people leaving the information off air for us to reach them. The other thing is sometimes people talk. He left his information. I do have it. I remember asking him to leave it, and he left it at the front desk. I think I still have that information on my desk somewhere. I'll see if he is interested in joining us in studio, because sometimes people are more comfortable staying where they are and talking to us rather than in studio on air. For various reasons. Sometimes because people call to ask personal advice that they may not want to give, but they can perhaps interact more easily surrounded by things that they're comfortable with, their papers, their information. But I agree with you.
He had a wealth of knowledge.
His information was really well delivered, and the reference books that he made stood up to scrutiny, and it is the type of informative. It may not be this type of program, but it may be an opportunity for us to use that type of information for the engagement and the enlightening of the public. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Dennis, a very good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
I'm not too bad, thanks. And yourself?
I'm good.
Okay.
What's
up? Now, well, I would say I want to endorse most what Muhammad Nasser would have been saying over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We have to also now look at it from another angle, and that is first to educate the people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start with the education, because as a people, we have a very narrow way of thinking, most of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because in such, you're here, you want more than me. I want more than you. And all that kind of carry on.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm speaking about clearly, because even Muhammad Nasser mentioned his last program where he has family and who in themselves would not want to join with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a broader spectrum, whereby he's talking about, it's a very good idea, the police, the nurses, and everything, where you can have into one entity sums of money that can be dispersed and wealth can be distributed. But at the same time, if you don't have people understanding the process, understanding where we want to go forward, we would always remain the way we are. You know?
Yeah.
Because I'll show you a little something, a little investment. You say to the guy, look, you got some money knocking around somewhere. Let us sit down. Let's legally, binding, put it together. We go to a lawyer, we sit down, we draw up a plan, and we formulate an incorporated company. Right there, then, as you start and things start to progress, now, prior to that, you would have been in a position to have a home and a car and this and that, the third and that. The minute that it starts to make money, everybody starts looking at one another. Man, you stealing from me. I stealing from you. You see, it's a mindset that we, as a people, right, most of us, not all of us, have. I give a little story. Once I met an Indian guy in Trinidad. Had a little one-door shop. I sat with him. We discussed certain things. Today he has two supermarkets. I can't go into everything.
you know,
you understand?
But you see, unfortunately, we learn to mistrust each other before we learn to trust each other.
Exactly.
And again, the comment I was making to one of the earlier callers about how we measure people are sometimes based on our own perceptions of ourselves. So if I sit down and I know that in my heart, if I had the opportunity to rob you blind, I would rob you blind. The minute I see you getting ahead, I presume that you're getting ahead because you're robbing somebody blind. Because that's what I'm thinking in my heart. If I could take advantage of you, you know, if I could take advantage of this, I would take advantage of this. So I guess he's getting through because he's doing the wrong thing. It is unfortunate that we don't seem to understand how to trust each other. Someone sent a WhatsApp message saying that the CDB has a buyer's club. The CDB, people who get duty-free this and duty-free allowances and don't all come from the same island. They have a buyer's club. So it means that people who get together with a common purpose and who understand the nature of business and how you can make it work for you, make it work for them. We who sit and complain about high prices don't seem to understand how to break the bonds. Yeah. Doesn't that say something?
All right. Let me show you something, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Some years back in the late 70s, and I put it in the back of my head. I was in a meeting, a young man then. I was in a meeting with my father, with a solicitor, a white solicitor. You know what he said to me? Whites go down to Calawash and Bashiba and then places on the weekends, sit down, discuss business at the round table for the end of the financial year, millions and roll it over and what's not. He says, until your people understand that process, we will always be in the dark. And I put it in the back of my head. And I said to him, I said, no, that wouldn't happen. And I hesitated about to do certain things. And you know, with my ideas, you know, many of the family members dismiss them.
Yeah.
I give you a brilliant idea. Lower Stick, at the time across the brow. You know the brow at Lower Stick, right across? Back in the 78, 79 era, I said to my immediate family then, let us lease that for days of power. We could set up a sawmill. Man, we set up a sawmill, we could do with a sawmill in Barbados. You understand what I just said, you?
So,
today, you'll be doing lower income housing because you'll be getting the material out of Guyana.
Out of Guyana. And, sir, but you see, again, it depends on what people want. When you talk about low-cost housing in Barbados, when you talk about mass-producing housing, remember hardwood and all the noise that went along with it? People see low-cost housing as meaning I can't afford any better. So for them, building a wooden house, even if you build it out of this new fabricated siding that look like wood that is not wood, and do, you know, your old wraparound patio and you put your hammock in the front and your room's airy and open and breezy, that ain't looking right. You need 7 bedrooms, 6.5 bathroom with a lot of narrow little corridors and ceiling fans and air conditioned unit and a TV room and a computer room and a telephone room, because that's how you show that you're big.
All right, watch it now. I understand what you said, but let me say, you know, Dennis.
They could tell you, you know, get into something as design a $500,000 house and get, you know, $200,000 for designing the house and you're good. This low-cost housing thing you're doing, wasting time.
Right, back in the day, back in the day, a 3-bedroom, 13-square-bedroom, and who understand the measurements they're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Two bathrooms out of purple and green heart was put together with outside handrails from the Barbados Foundry, everything in place at a cost of about $13,000.
$13,000.
Beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
Panel on the inside, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you tell me for a start home like that, where you could be comfortable in, and you had to put out $15,000 You don't want it. That's something wrong with your head.
So, well, let me tell you something, right? I will tell you no. If you could deliver that today at $100,000, I think you would be in good graces, but I don't know how many people would want it. So look at the villages at Coverley. Look at how many houses they have over there. Look at how many of them unfinished. And ask yourself, if that was being done Bajan Chattel House style with not even the same zero lot line that they're using now, how many of them you think would be sold? Just think about it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Somebody said, good morning. West Swing, East Swing in the house these days. Yeah, and by the time we reach each other, we're strangers. We don't know who we are. Well, as I used to tell a friend of mine, by the time I find a wife, I can't remember who I want her for. I'm too tired to do it. Anyhow. John sitting smiling at me. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I would like to mention about the Draxaw bus, number of Draxaw buses that have not been running consistently.
I saw an email about that I was reading through. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, I think that was my email was saying you.
Yeah, I was reading through it to get a sense of it before I start reading it. So now you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to mention about the 640 Draxaw bus on mornings from town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've not seen that for a long time because you have to walk from Draxaw all to Greens to get PSV operator for 40 and 45 minutes. And sometimes you don't got people that have to catch the PSV operator that have to get off in Greens to catch a bus all to, to catch a bus from in town, I mean, Elton Greens and St. Louis from town to walk from Greens all to Draxaw for another 40 and 45 minutes with heavy bags in the hand. And then, That's me, ma. Well, I understand you.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Even many nights of us have been in the bus terminal waiting for 11 o'clock, that's our bus.
Mm-hmm.
Although people have to go work early next morning, you have to be waiting from all 10 o'clock in the night, all 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock the next day for a bus to get home.
How long has this been happening?
This has been going on for the past 3 months now.
Has anyone at the transport board addressed that issue? Have they said anything? Is it something that they say we're trying to fix, we can't do it right now? Is there any communication? How many people are affected by this? Let me ask that first. There got a lot of people that... 10, 12?
I see a good amount of people in the bus terminal at night.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for the 11 o'clock bus, but actually, they can't get it because actually, sometimes a lot of them just got to go back to work early next morning.
Right.
And to be in terminal that long and seeing everybody else getting the bus except for Jackson is like, this happening too often, and it's like, they're mostly fearing other routes than Jackson. That's how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like the Minister Dugan and Minister starting to look into this situation because it has been going on far too long.
You know, sir, I would like to encourage the people who live in these areas where you have transportation issues, you have difficulty in getting transport, to do two things. One, communicate with your parliamentary representative and invite them to come and sit with you in the bus stand one night to get transportation to your home. I believe representation of the people must mean that you understand the needs of your people. I keep asking, what is this word representation of the people that we supposedly go to the polls and put our X's, what it really means to both the people placing the X there and the beneficiaries of the X. Because if you have areas of Barbados that are inadequately served by transportation for whatever reason, it is all well and good to say, look, we know we have a problem with buses. Yes, we're working on it. Yes, we've set up agencies to deal with it. Yes, we have a transport authority. Yes, we have this. Yes, we have that. But until it becomes the shoe on your foot, you then... a little distant from it because you're just hearing people. So yes, you may meet with your constituents and they may tell you. that we have a problem with water, or we have a problem with transport, or we have a problem with the roads. But until you walk the road, until you fall down in the pothole, apparently then you don't get how serious it is. So invite the minister, invite your representative to sit with you from the time you sit there and wait on a bus and see what it feels like to sit for half an hour or quarter of an hour or 2 hours and then walking the rest at midnight or quarter past midnight or whatever time you eventually get home. And then translate that into how it affects your home life, how it affects your productivity, how many hours sleep you get, what time you eat, and what time you get up next morning to face the public again. Because we have to address this problem. It can't just keep going on and on and on and on. And this is not about buying new buses. It's not about changing the uniform. It's not just about that. It has to be about understanding the need of the people who live in the area. And that's what you're talking about, your need. Yep.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dennis, for listening to me. Because,
thank you very much, sir, for writing, you know, and taking the time to call.
Because I hope it.
It fixes. It gets fixed.
Something.
Agreed, sir. Agreed. Agreed. Totally. Thank you, sir. You know, yesterday I was talking about Bridgetown and linemen in Bridgetown, and sitting in a bus stand for 2 hours or for 3 hours at 11 o'clock in the night is not what I was talking about when I talk about linemen in Bridgetown. The email from Carl Moore, while John takes the calls and tries to line them up, the email from Carl Moore says, Moderator, Mohammed Amin Nasser's comment a few minutes ago is timely. To be middle class in poor countries like Barbados merely means that you have enough spending money to provide for yourself and your family without living hand to mouth, but not enough to guarantee their future. In other words, nothing can be taken for granted because there's always the risk that your prosperity may fall victim to time and chance. Carl Moore. Brastax, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed. Well, I guess in life you will always have varying opinions, but telling me as a black person what I should and should not believe to me is bullying. This is a world, and if you go to India, you have the Jadis, you have the Jains, you have the Buddhists, you have the Muslims, you have the Hindus. You know, that you cannot coerce anybody to believe what you want to believe. And black people, as far as I'm concerned, when it suits them, they embrace white people's theologies, the same police and the same nurses organizations.
Why do you think they do that?
Well, like I said, when it suits people's agenda, they will do what they feel suitable for them at the time.
Yeah, but what is their agenda? That's why I'm getting
that. I can't. their agenda might be to oppress. It may be money. It may be power.
Could it be that they see that as their only means of getting ahead then? Let me put it that way.
Well, I don't know. I can't think for nobody.
Well, if they were uncomfortable doing it, why would they do it?
No, they're not uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying.
That's my point. So they must be comfortable doing it.
They're comfortable doing it, but when it suits them, they will tell you don't embrace white people. But when it suits them, they embrace the white people. They want to embrace theologies or doctrines or philosophies,
mm-hmm.
if you understand me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say categorically that I am a Muslim that endorsed Donald J. Trump. And as I said already, he is the watchman on the wall. He is the Cyrus for the time. But God will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And what black people need to do is to understand that historically we were brought as slaves, and they need to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. But to make a long story short, whether worrying about Putin is only a matter of time before he pulls the plug. You do have a blessed day, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, ma'am. Brass Tax, good morning. Hello? 4341790, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, Mr. Johnson, good morning. I'm calling about the Draxall bus.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that spoke just now, he said that this thing was happening about 3 months. It is more than 3 months. It's years.
It
was happening.
Uh-huh.
And we have made several complaints to the transport board, and nothing has been done.
What have they said?
It appears to me that when you have square pegs in a wrong hole, you don't get anything done. There'll be no 6 o'clock bus on mornings. You only get a 5:30 bus. After that, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes you get a 10 or the 8. Another time you stand up for 7 hours. You understand? I said, look, if you had to do a cardiology in the defense force, then the transport board would train you real good. Because you stand up for hours.
Let me ask this question. What changes have there been in the Draxall area in the years you've lived there? How long have you lived there?
Mr. Johnson, I live here all my life.
Good. What changes have there been in the Draxall area? More houses, people?
Oh, yes,
people?
It has been developed.
Good.
Enough.
Right. How many changes have there been to things like bus stops and places where the bus stops are and people congregate waiting on buses since you've been there?
Listen, Mr. Johnson, they have bus stops in Draxall.
Right.
But I don't know what happened, who messed it up. I don't know. But even when elite buses were running, we had to suffer some, yes, but not like how the transport board doing it now.
Right. Now, the reason why I'm asking that is this, right? I have looked at certain areas in Barbados that I've either lived in or been around, and I've seen development. And I've often wondered why the bus service is not changed with the development. For example, I could tell you of Wellhouse Bay in St. Philip. When I went to live in Wellhouse Bay in St. Philip, they only had about 5 houses there. Last time I went to Wellhouse Bay in St. Philip, they had plenty more than 5 houses there. Now, I can't remember seeing a bus stop inside there when I lived there, when there were only 5 houses there. The bus stop outside and you walk down into Wellhouse, whether it was 10 o'clock in the night or 1 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes they would have police down there because they're tracking drug boats. Mm. So if there are developments in areas in Barbados and the transportation system, the transport board, has not kept pace with development, how many people they're moving, how often they have to move, do people want to leave home at 5 o'clock in the morning as opposed to 7 o'clock in the morning because there's more traffic coming into town from the Draxall area and the bus takes longer to get there. If you don't keep abreast of those changes, sitting in an office and drawing plans and saying that has always been so, it's not going to work, is it? And that's why I asked what their answers have been, and you talked about square pegs in wrong holes. People have to get out and see and check and talk, even to the drivers, the people who live in the area. When do you need transport? What time do you get home? What time do you get up? How has the movement of people changed? How many school children? How many attend university? All these things have to be factored in, as the email writer said earlier, when you try to devise a transportation system. It can't be just putting buses on routes.
Look, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen to me. Everybody in Draxall do not have a motor car.
Okay, agreed. Understand.
Okay.
That. Mm-hmm.
We have to suffer every day for a bus. People that are going to work. And when you call and ask for transportation, suddenly they abuse you. I myself, and I spoke to you on several occasions about this when my daughter was going to school. I used to work at the Adventist school, and when it came down evenings, you know what happened?
What?
People were in there from 12 o'clock. And they said no bus. And when I had to come and beg for a bus to get home. Beg. And you paying. And then you were here. How many buses that Draxall doing it to transport board?
That's what you were told?
Yes.
Somebody says here there are 2 Draxalls in St. George. You should say which one you're speaking about. Ma'am, I don't think that's an answer you should get. I don't think it makes much sense at all.
That is what there does. And I know a supervisor, but he don't know. He asked me that question, and they get out there in the yard and start laughing and abuse the people in the Draxall. And let me do something to send home from 16 down to gate 1. And when you look in the terminal, it was only Draxall people there, and they come and stand up and they look and they laugh. That cannot be right now, cannot be fair. But that's where I see that when they retire, they don't live to enjoy nothing because they didn't do the right thing.
Ma'am, let's hope that that changes because the person says the transport board have technology to supply these changes. So why they don't use it then, if they're there? I don't know. Ma'am, I hope that the transport authority, the transport board, the reorganizing of the transportation system in Barbados, I heard the good folk in Parliament talking about the various subsidies and the parastatal agencies and how much they need. Let's hope in the reorganizing and the changes that will be coming for parastatal agencies in Barbados, perhaps including the Transport Board, that they will redound to the benefit of the traveling public of Barbados and not cause more heartache. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790 Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to come back in after hearing about that brass fall thing.
Right.
And I'm going to take you through it step by step. I was watching the news a night on CBC TV. I saw and heard about the brass fall affair. I took it upon myself. No, I never knew anybody in brass fall. I went up there. I spoke to the residents. I heard the complaint. I told them what I would do. I would draft a letter. I would bring it back to them. If they're late, what is drafted, I would get that letter tight, bring it back again, and let them all sign it, which they did. I walked the whole of Draxall. And especially Draxall Drum, that is the real problem area because, and let me tell you what contributes to the problem too. Remember when the bypass first started, they used to bring people to a point as like people who are getting off in Payne's Bay were not allowed to catch the bus because they wanted the bus for people beyond Eagle Hall. Remember that?
I do.
Hello?
Yes, sir,
right.
I do. I'm listening to you.
Well, there are people who can catch other buses, but put that aside now. I got the letter type. Had the census done, I sent it off to the relevant people. As a result, I was told there were too many buses placed on the road. I don't know what have happened. Look, this is much. You see what lady said? There's no gentry. I don't want to say what he wants to find here.
So then don't say it.
I know it's going to offend a lot of people. I am going to come to you. I'm going to bring that letter to you because I kept a copy of all the signatures. I want you to see it, and I'm going to relate to you exactly what happened in it. It's heartbreaking. I had also suggested what they can do. The society bus, when it's coming up, let that bus go through to Draxall Jump and put all those people who would have to traverse that long hill. It's a very long hill. You're a man who is known for going champion, so yourself, go up there and say it's a long hill where people have to walk in darkness.
I don't understand why people think I have to do it myself to believe or disbelieve anybody. People call this radio station and say all kinds of things. And why people talking, people who don't want to go on there, call and say that body telling lies and then hang up the phone. And then when I try to answer or say something, I get nasty letters telling me people ain't calling you because you're talking all over your face, all kind of things. Shut up. There are people in this country who don't want to fix things. There are people in this country who don't like my voice. There are people in this country who don't like my head for whatever reason. Why it is y'all keep thinking that I am somebody who can fix things? Sir, Barbados belong to Barbadians. Bajans need to fix Barbados, not me. I can fix what I can. I will fix what I could do, and I will take the licks and the blows because apparently that is my lot in life. But I don't have to see everything to know that it happens. They got 30 people sitting in Parliament that we elect. Let them go and sit down in the bus stand. Let them walk Draxall because they would have to walk it to get the votes. And they got a bunch of people who just sat down last weekend and vote an executive who want power at some point. Let them walk Draxall I am not running for political office. I don't belong to any political group or organization. Look, I don't know why I care. I don't know why I do the things I do. I would like to sit and do nothing like everybody else and take a paycheck and go home and go, my life is all right. Why I bother with you like other people do? But it grates on me. I can't do it. I get upset. Because I see things and I see how we could fix things and I don't understand why we don't. I could only talk plain. I can't talk big words. I could, but it won't make sense. It won't make sense to me. And if it don't make sense to me, I can't tell nobody that. They got a guy sitting across from me called John. Right? John got a family. Okay? John works here. His wife works in Bridgetown. They got children. No. If John and his wife gets into a car to go home or try to catch a bus to go home and they're stuck in the bus stand for 3 hours and they don't get home till 6 or 7 o'clock tonight, where they can't see their young children can't see them. Or by the time they get home and the young children start jumping up and down on them and saying, Daddy, Mommy, they're vexed with them because they've been sitting in the bus stand for 3 hours and they're upset. They can't deal with their children in a happy way. You understand? But if John and his wife could sit down waiting on a bus in comfort and she could take off her shoes and run her foot up on the long side, pants leg and smile at him sweetly and ding and promise about Ron later on. When he get home, he hug his children. He kiss them goodnight and put them to night quick. Read them bedtime stories and smile and wink. Because he went home in a pleasant way. He went home feeling happy. Because the missus promised him, you know, that things going to be all right when they get home. Because they're waiting and they're going to get home before 10 o'clock in the night or 12 o'clock in the night. That's how family life begins to grow. That's how you get good customer service. That's why you would sit down here and smile when people call and quarrel with him because they won't go on here and they're vexed with me. So we have to understand how what we do affects somebody else. We can't assume because we get paid $1,800 a month or $2,000 a month or $2,500 a month and the car working all right that the world is okay. And it can't be me alone to fix it or you alone or you showing me. How we get like this? Why does Sir Lloyd ask how we get back here again? Perhaps the founding fathers would ask how we get here at all. I'm sorry, but you brought that out in me. You have a habit of doing that. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, how are you?
Don't let these fellas wear you out so early in the day, you know. You got to pace yourself.
Sometimes, sir, you say I speed up and then slow down.
Otherwise, we look at a friend of mine who used to be a fast bowler. He used to bowl the first two overs.
And then become a spinner?
That's right.
I hope he get the wickets in the first two pace overs.
Tried to mark it down by pavilion. I ran up fast. And then next thing I see, moving marker coming closer. And next thing, me boy off it.
Well, what works for him works, I guess. What's up?
Mr. Johnson, there was a time in this country that you could depend on your transport. But I can tell you when I came back here, and I was living in Christchurch here, we had a bus system in here, transport board.
Mm-hmm.
Where you bus, you could actually set your watch where you bus. The first bus in your mom was a 7 o'clock bus.
Mm-hmm.
The bus coming up at 6:45, passing by host, and they're going to leave top at 7. They're going to do the same thing 9:45 and 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 7. On Fridays, you would get, in addition to zone, you got a 9 o'clock bus. And Saturdays, you get a 9 o'clock bus too. Depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well organized, Mr. Johnson, that you could actually
put
set
your time.
Your watch.
Yeah. Agreed.
Now, what I'm trying to say is you can assign routes to anybody, private sector or public sector.
Mm-hmm.
But assigning a route is only half the problem. You have also to prepare schedules. And the schedule must be a schedule that is printed so that everybody, both the passenger and everybody who has to deal with the bus system knows what the schedules are. Mm-hmm. And we have a problem in Barbados, and I've spoken with this before. In Barbados, you have to have a schedule for weekdays, you have to have a schedule for weekends, mm-hmm. and you have to have a schedule for bank holidays. Because I don't know if you've noticed it, but on bank holidays, you hardly get public transportation. You don't know when it's coming, when it's going. And this is something that I don't understand, which is that the transport authority, the private sector managers, then the public sector authority cannot sit down and map this service so that people can benefit from it. And what people don't have to stand up for 2 and 3 hours. And let me say,
well, let me ask you this question, sir.
Yeah.
Do you know if there's anything in the license agreement with the various private sector operators that stipulate their hours of operation as being part of their license?
Well, Mr. Johnson, if you have a license to operate, you get 24-hour license.
But I don't know. I'm asking you because I've never seen a public service vehicle agreement. So that's why I'm asking if you know if there's one.
They used to, with the private concessionaires years ago,
mm-hmm.
but we have the PSVs now, which are also private concessionaires too. But with the private concessionaires, so they used to have to file, a report, a schedule with the Ministry of Transport.
Okay.
I think 2 weeks or so before the appointed date.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ministry of Transport would monitor the movement of the vehicles. So you can't tell the Ministry of Transport, you can have an 8 o'clock bus from Draxall, and they bus come at 9 o'clock because they'll be monitoring it. And then you would have to account for your shortfall.
Okay.
What I don't understand, Mr. Johnson, and I sorry have to say this, but many transport board was run, I would say, relatively efficiently. When you go on the transport board, you have those people are mostly high school graduates. If you go on the transport board for the last 5 years, you can run to MAs and MBAs and PhDs. And don't ask me why they can't run it. I can't answer the question. Maybe you can, but I can't answer. Why can't a high school boy and girl go out and sit down in the office, assign a route, do a schedule, and make sure that it's properly taken, and people who know come out of university papers can't do it. They either don't care about doing it, or they're not competent to do it, Mr. Johnson. And I ain't going to do that. Otherwise, it's going to get worse than you, and they're going to start to preach. So I'm going to move on from that one.
And I go get pelt by letting you, for getting you get away with it. Because people can say, you ain't like university graduates, and you're always beating up on them, and I sit down here so I let you get away with it. So you ain't the only one that get pelt. I can get pelt first.
They can pelt at me, man. They pelt at
me. But they don't pelt at you, they just pelt at me first. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So I just take the blow for you. You know the fellow who has run up far? That's why I was run up far.
Yes. I'm not lying on anybody. Mrs. Dodge, you can check for yourself.
I
used to go to the transport board. We used to do some work for the transport board, their cash register and stuff, one thing. So I used to be in there. So when I speak from a position of knowledge. Most of the people in there, when
so don't say it again, you say it already. So you say it already, don't say it again. Tell me what else you're going to
tell me. You remember when I dropped the Leland and the Mercedes-Benz, do you remember?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember when the transport board had those buses?
So I remember the transport board when they had red and all kind of different color buses too.
You see what I mean?
I old.
Mr. Johnson, uh-huh. This thing about that people coming together and pooling resources, and stuff, this is nothing new. We've been trying this from the time I grew up as a little boy. We used to have what we call a meeting turn, where poor people would go and put in $5 and so on and so forth. And at Christmas time or Easter, they would get a little lump sum to help them to buy clothes or, you know, for the children and so on. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for eons.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, we now have transport co-ops, we have church co-ops, we now call them credit unions.
Right.
So we're at the top of the ladder. But if you check, Mr. Johnson, we don't have 3 or 4 credit unions now. We got 110 credit unions. So that tells you something. In a small country like Barbados, you have all these credit unions. Each credit union have their board of executives who take off this, you know, have their thing from the top and so on. We could have half the number of credit unions or a third, and the credit union be much more powerful than they are right now. But they like that, these little enclaves, you know, because I got to be president, I got to be chairman, and you might
brother. So that's not true. It just depends on people who get together because they share common good. The Barbados Workers Union, for example, they would have a credit union for their members. the National Union of Public Workers may have one for their members. We have one down Fontebel for the media workers co-op. They people get together for their common good.
But Mr. Johnson,
the same way you would get together, the same way you would get together with, you know, the people who repair cash registers with you to have the cash registers union, because you think you know more about what your people who repair cash registers would need rather than somebody who repairs buses. People get together for their common good, which is what Bernasa was saying. Get together for your common good, whatever your common good is, your organization, the police, the whomever. I belong to the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited. I'm not a public worker.